Chapter 2. Dread Mission. To the ordinary view, the great swirl of close-packed stars, designated by the Imperium the Eye of Terror, resembled just what the name implied. A baleful, glowing eye glaring in space, set like an evil jewel in the northwest of the galaxy. To many, that was all it was. Among the Imperium's teeming trillions, few knew much by the way of history. Even less had ever had it explained to them the true nature of the other realm, the alternate, insubstantial universe that was called the Immaterium, or simply the warp, by the tech priests whose great engines drove their vast interstellar ships from star to star. It was not that such knowledge was hidden, though officially its existence would be denied. It was simply not generally disseminated. And so, to many of the more educated, the idea that the warp was a realm of chaos, inhabited by spirits, monsters, and demons, was either ignorance, the stuff of myth and legend, or else rank superstition. True, the Eye of Terror, which also went by many other names in the regions surrounding it, was held to be a dangerous place. The navigators of the Navis Nobilitae avoided it. It was a warp storm, the greatest in the galaxy, and to enter it was to throw one's life away. To the academically minded on some planets, even the cult of the Emperor, the official religion of the Imperium, was not always to be taken literally. If there were no such things as spirits, some argued, then it was obvious that the Emperor could not be what it was claimed he was, and which in truth he really was, namely, the greatest of the gods. True, there could be a reason for such lack of knowledge. Perhaps it was the case that ignorance suited the administratum. Already too many human beings were psychically sensitive to the warp. Some, often unwittingly, opened a path for warp creatures to enter the material world. The consequences were dire, both for themselves and for those around them, and not infrequently for entire planets. So it was that even people living in the crescent of worlds skirting the Eye of Terror did not know that even the wildest of rumours fell far short of the reality. For in the heart of the Eye was what was called the Bysos, a hole in the stuff of space, through which poured the raw energy of the warp, mutating and corrupting all that it touched. Moreover, all around that gaping rent in reality, right up to the fringes of the terrible storm, which had existed for thousands of years and showed no sign of ever abating, were innumerable worlds under the corrupt sway of chaos, of demons and of chaos-possessed warriors who were every one mortal enemies of the Imperium. One set of people, under no illusions as to its nature, were the occupants of the unnamed, secretly built Imperium null ship, transported by starship from the planet Mars to an airless moon, jointly under the control of the Adeptus and the Inquisition. It underwent its final trials. Then, psychic screening set at maximum, it nosed through the Cadian Gate, the only properly navigable path into the Eye. Once within the starry whirlpool, it was beyond the Imperium. It was among the Hell Worlds, swimming through the heady sea of shimmering supernal energy, where the warp and real space overlapped. The exterior of the null ship was a forest of baffles, turrets, and antennae. It was the boast of the Adeptus Mechanicus that the vessel was invisible to any psychic or material probe which the Chaos Worlds could throw at it. Within the narrow hull, the only illumination was the dim green glow of the instruments and the phosphorescent runes, the only sound, the muttering of the voices against the background of whining engines. Aboard were the tech priests who had helped build the null ship, two navigators, three inquisitors, one of whom captained the vessel, half a squad of Purple Star Space Marines, including Epistillary Librarian Mashtuma, and the specially trained team of psychers whose task it would be to spy on the hidden realm within the eye. And also, bound into a bucket chair, half insane, mouth frothing with terror as he felt the loosened power of the warp surging all around him, was the benighted young man whose uncontrolled psychic power had made his life a misery, who had somehow cast his mental vision into the eye to see something taking place there, something dangerous to the Imperium, and who was now to be the expedition's guide. The Space Marine librarian knelt beside the young man, injecting him with a calming drug. The psychic's jaw was already slack. Now his head lolled as Mashtuma spoke quietly to him.
"Which way?"
There was no need for the prisoner to speak. The entire team of psychers was tuning into his mind. No two saw quite the same as their own nervous systems interpreted what the shivering young man perceived, but they also shivered with him. None had ever before had the experience of sensing psychic energy that reached for light years in every direction, permeating the very space they occupied, mixing with the air they breathed. For the psyker, it was like drowning in electrified foam. Not all of them would have been able to describe what they sensed, but for most it was like seeing a vast, multicoloured expanse in which were abstract shapes, blocks, cubes, swirling spheres, building and dissolving. The wild psyker closed his eyes.
"The door," he mumbled. "They are going to open the door."
They saw where his mind tended. They relayed instructions. The two navigators conferred, hunching together in the cramped cockpit in the nose of the null ship. One of them turned to the Inquisitor captain.
"The Astronomicon is barely perceptible as it is, Lord. In that direction, we shall lose it altogether."
"Then lose it. We didn't come here to play safe."
They both nodded, wondering why they had even bothered to inform the ship's commander of their concern. Partly, it was simple reflex. Without the Astronomicon, the immense psychic navigation beacon provided by the Emperor and drawing on the power of 10,000 young psychers, the Imperium could not be maintained. Warp travel, over more than a few light years, was impossible without it. To a navigator, it was a constant presence, of which he had been conscious since birth. When assigned to this mission, the two had known that for the first time in their lives, they might lose sight of it. They might, for the first time ever, have to guess which way was out. They turned the ship, plunging through the warp. The Astronomicon faded and was gone. They were directionless. Still, it might come back. The roiling warp storm that was the Eye of Terror only differed from other such cosmic tempests in that it was bigger, much bigger. The Astronomicon could still shine through, but patchily, as the currents of the Immaterium raged and swirled. The navigators fought down their panic, steering the ship, guided only by the extravagant shapes forming and dissolving within the eye. Worlds were swaying past them. Not normal worlds, such as would have been found in calmer regions of the galaxy. Weird worlds. Nightmare worlds. Worlds that made no sense, either in terms of astrophysics or of mental perception. It was as if the darkened, cramped interior of the null ship was an iron bullet of rationality in an insane universe. As if it had no right to be there. In truth, it did not have any right to be here. Despite its adamantium strength, the hull of the ship creaked as it sank further into the eye, like a submarine diving too deep and coming under intolerable pressure. But the pressure was not physical. It was psychic. The screens were groaning as they strained to keep the worst of the storm out.
Here was the place I saw!
The thought came from the wild psyker in a blaring warning, like a baby crying for its mother. Now came the moment of maximum danger. For the spy team to probe clearly, the screens would have to come down for a brief interval, leaving the null ship visible, should any demon or renegade psyker be looking this way.
The ship's present position was too dangerous. Should they unscreen in the middle of a particularly violent warp torrent, the minds of all aboard could be ripped to pieces. The Null ship drifted, allowing the current to carry it into a calmer backwater, where it emerged from the warp, insofar as that was possible in this mixed realm of warp real space overlap. The screen came down. For the psychers, it was like having a glass window wiped clean of obscuring mud and grease. They were given a clear view over a distance of 50 light years. Minds of the strangest, most perverted sort revealed themselves to their gaze on planet after glowing planet. But that was not all. The works of those minds were revealed too. The works of minds and hands and manic, distorted machines. A shocking panorama opened to the psychers' view. They saw construction yards for interstellar warships on continent after continent, on planet after planet. And for those warships too massive to be lifted off a planet except by magic, construction docks in orbit, or in what seemed to be a miasma, floating in some strange region which was nowhere at all. Battleships. Battleships by the hundred. Too many to be counted. A panoply of military power for which there could be only one reason. To challenge the Imperial fleet. An armada. A great invasion battle fleet was being prepared. It's impossible. The Inquisitor captain snarled in protest as the terrible news was relayed to him. His incredulity was understandable. The Chaos Worlds had never been able to organize on a large scale. The one great weakness of a Chaos Realm was that it was chaotic. War within the Eye was constant. Much as they hated the human Imperium, neither the Chaos Gods nor their worshippers were capable of cooperating with one another for any practical purpose. Few new warships were ever built. In the main, the traitor legions still used the same ships aboard which they had fled into the Eye so many thousand years before. The psychic screens had been down for only moments, but towards the end of that time, the psychers felt the awful gaze of some malevolent intelligence. An amused, booming voice echoed through their consciousness. It seemed to make the very adamantium of the Null ship's hull ring.
"Greetings, my little ones."
"Get us out of here!"
roared the Inquisitor captain. Even he had felt the demonic owner of the dread voice insinuating into his mind. The navigators needed no prompting. They dropped the ship back into the warp. The Null ship was underway, moving in the immaterial currents like a fish carried by the tide.
"We cannot see the Astronomicon, captain."
"Just get us away from here, as far as we can, until you find it."
"Yes, Lord."
Not knowing which way was out, it was a suffocating feeling, a panicky feeling. Ignoring the flimmering horrors all around them, the navigators plunged the spy ship into the endless depths. No, surely this could not be right. They were sinking. The warp was getting denser, harder to peer through. Many navigators had learned the trick of seeing in more than three dimensions, of being able to understand shapes and labyrinths in three, four, five, even six dimensions. But this was different. A writhing maze stretched all around them. But it was a maze in 100 dimensions at least. It was impossible for any human mind to unravel it.
"Which way? Which way?"
"Gag that idiot, somebody!"
The Inquisitor captain barked. He gestured at the wild psyker, whose last shreds of sanity seemed to have gone now. The young man sagged in the chair to which he was bound, drooling. Eyes closed, a continuous bleating sound coming from his open mouth. The navigators conferred briefly. They agreed that there was no wise choice to be made. Everything depended on pure chance. They spun the Null ship, selected a direction at random, and continued on. Librarian Marshjuma stuffed a cloth into the wild psyker's mouth and taped it over. The sound of the man's straining breathing was the loudest noise to be heard. The presence of the demon had faded. How far away had the chaos being been when it had called to them? Light years away. In real space, probably. Perhaps no distance at all in the warp. Time and distance did not have the same meaning here in the Eye of Terror. At length, the multidimensional swirl flattened out. The mad extra dimensions dropped away, folding up like a cosmic house of cards. Then, as one, the navigators breathed a fervent sigh of relief. From far off, in their warp vision, came a faint, pearly glow. Pure light of a holy beacon. The light of the Emperor, shining even here. Mentally intoning heartfelt prayers of thanks, the navigators again turned the nose of the ship, seeking the way back to the Cadian gate. Then, without warning, the Null ship spontaneously dropped out of the warp. It was in real space, or what passed for real space, in this infernal region of the galaxy. The twin engines were gunned again, without result. The ship stubbornly refused to make the transition to the realm of the Immaterium. After inspecting the instruments, the crewmen looked at one another questioningly. Was this some unrecorded feature of the warp? Could it be what had happened to the other Null ships? Had they simply become stranded? Or was it enemy action? A tremulous voice rang out in the near darkness.
Unknown vessel approaching.
Pale phosphorescence lit up their faces as they leaned towards the scanner screens. The vessel on course for them was a Chaos ship, no doubt of that, and it was close. From this distance it was possible to estimate its size. Though not large, not much bigger than the Null ship itself, it evoked fascinated awe in the watchers. The tech priest spoke up.
Strange. Despite all the, embellishments, shall we say, I recognize the design. It was built in the Martian orbital yards, perhaps 10 millennia ago. The design was discontinued after the Horus heresy, and yet it looks brand new. Except, of course, for the embellishments.
The embellishments, as he called them, were quite grotesque. It was as if the small space cruiser had contracted a cancer, or had mutated, putting forth flesh-like protuberances. In places it seemed squashed, in others bloated. A pair of gigantic coral-coloured claws sprouted from its front end. Fronds, walls and fins, brilliantly hued in green, lavender and scarlet, gave the main hull the appearance of an exotic fish. The pilot navigator fed power to the real space motor. It was no use. The Chaos cruiser easily matched their velocity and continued to close in. The Null ship had no external armament, but on the other hand, the approaching ship gave no sign that it intended to use its own. It came directly on, its great claws extended and reaching out.
"Prepare to repel boarders,"
the Inquisitor captain ordered. He had already guessed what was about to happen, despite its seeming impossibility. The Chaos ship expanded and filled the view screen as if seen through a magnifying glass. There was an ear-shattering crunching noise, accompanied by brittle snapping sounds, and followed by the hiss of escaping air, as the curved wall of the long narrow cabin caved in. The enemy cruiser's claws were chewing through the pure adamantium of the hull. All except the Astartes reached hastily for breathing masks. The Space Marines didn't need any. They could survive unprotected in the hard vacuum of the void. In the event, none were needed anyway. As the Chaos cruiser nestled in close to the Null ship, gripping it in its great claws and tearing open a gap in its hull, it also sealed the edges of the hole and prevented any further escape of air. Lumbering and pushing its way through the rent came a hulking figure in crimson power armor. Like the ship from which it came, the armour seemed to have mutated in some way, growing grotesque excrescences in glowing colours. The stranger made an odd contrast with the Space Marines, whose own power armour, though almost equally bulky, was clean of line and gleaming. The boarder seemed to have foreseen what he would find. A hand flamer hissed point-blank straight into the chest of the leading Space Marine, burning instantly through both his mesh armour and the black carapace which augmented his ribcage, charring his heart and lungs. Even as he fell, one of the Marine's comrades avenged him, chainsword in one hand, slicing through the attacker's luridly decorated power armour. Power axe in the other followed up and striking deep into the wearer's body, tearing him apart. The purple stars did not draw their bolt weapons. To discharge them would have sent exploding bolts ricocheting off the adamantium walls, slaughtering friend and foe alike. Their weapons were chainswords and power axes, and with savage cries they rushed to the boarding point, where already other bestial invaders were forcing themselves through the rent. Beyond it, a red glow could be seen, from which, as if emerging from the heart of a furnace, came more Chaos Warriors, similarly armoured. Mashuma found he could not immediately identify from the intricate designs which of the ruinous powers they served. If any, not all Chaos Renegades had pledged their allegiance to any particular disgusting deity, but scurrying after them were creatures that might once have been human and were completely naked. They waved long pincers in place of arms, had hooves instead of feet, and legs of goats, and the faces of horned beasts. They carried no weapons. Their pincers were razor sharp. A kick from their hooves could smash a limb or break a back, as they quickly proved. The intruders did not in the least mind firing flamers and bolters in the pipe-like cavity. They brought pandemonium with them. The team of psykers cowered as the marines fought hand-to-hand with almost twice their number of armoured warriors, in a display of wanton ferocity. Bravely, the tech priests rallied to join the fray, attempting to take on the beastmen with axe and sword, and so gave the purple stars a free hand. They were no match for the chaos monsters. Arms and legs were snipped off in an orgy of butchery, the beast things yowling with delight as the priests fell screeching and gouting blood. The armoured chaos boarders were howling too while they fought, howling with joy and abandonment as bolt gun flared, power axe fell, chainsword ripped and scythed, and hissing gouts of condensed flame washed through the null ship without mercy. Combat to the death seemed but a game to them. The confined space within the null ship filled with a mist of spattered blood. Then, a different kind of creature bounded from the other ship, a creature whose shape could not properly be made out, but which sizzled and snapped with a blue energy as it leapt shrieking about the cabin, bringing death to all it touched. Librarian Mashuma knew that this foul thing was a materialized warp creature, pushing the now twitching form of a pincer-armed beastman off himself. He concentrated his mind and fired its full charge of spiritual power in a bolt of pure psychic energy. The warp thing exploded like a ball of lightning and was gone. Suddenly, all was quiet, except for the puking groans of the dying. All the Space Marines save he were dead. 9 or 10 Chaos Renegades were also dead, as were a dozen naked pincer-armed monstrosities. The tech priests had all died. Mashuma himself was badly wounded, having taken the backlash of a hand flamer shot in the abdomen. The Chaos ship was disengaging, pulling away, its claws releasing them. There was a bang as the cabin partly depressurized, air whipping into the void before the null ship's emergency sealant surged into place, blocking up the ragged hole, appearing like a smear of mud. Oxygen hissed softly, bringing the pressure back to normal. It was strange to see friends and enemies pile together in so narrow a space, blood mixing in the scrum and congealing as one. The stench of spilled blood and burned flesh was choking. Mashuma fought to stay conscious and cast his gaze around the cabin, looking for anyone else who might still be alive and also capable of action. Forward in the nose of the ship he saw one of the two navigators, his head smashed to a pulp. Then, beside him, the second navigator, one arm a bloody mangled mess, raised his head, his face twisted in pain, and looked at the librarian in despair. Glancing at the external view screen, librarian Mashuma saw the Chaos Raider retreating.
"Try the warp engine," he gasped.
The navigator obeyed, pulling himself into the pilot's seat. With his good arm, he pulled down a control lever, intoning a prayer, though the words came through gritted teeth. The ship dropped into the warp.
"Get us out of here,"
Mashuma ordered in a faint, gravelly voice.
"Get us back to Cadia."
He did not know if the navigator could stay conscious for long enough to carry out that duty, or indeed would live that long. The few groans to be heard were dying now, as life slipped away from those who could still feel pain. Among them was the wild Soika, the poor young wretch who had escaped being burned as a witch on his primitive home planet, who had escaped death at the hands of the Adeptus Telepathica, who had escaped being sacrificed to the Emperor as a morsel of psychic food, of whom no one had ever even bothered to ask his name, and who now was to suffer the fate he dreaded most, as the lifeblood drained away from his smashed chest cavity, and who uttered a faint, final, whinnying cry of despair, as he felt his soul being sucked into hell.
A black crusade is coming.
Impossible. There hasn't been one for a millennium and a half.
There has never been one such as this is going to be.
The private office of the Lord Militant Commander of the Imperial Fleet's Segmentum Obscurus was a place given to calm and quiet. The wood panels lining the walls were carved with scenes from the fleet's glorious past. Battles fought, worlds subdued, planets destroyed, relief ships got through in apparently impossible conditions. Carved there too were the bleak figures of commanders of the past, in full dress uniform, breasts covered with medallions, staring out from the grained wood as if grimly reminding the present incumbent of the gravity of his duty. Seated with the commander, around a table of mahogany inlaid with platinum, were all his admirals in high-collared dress jackets. He had just finished giving them as much information as had been brought back by the stricken null ship sent into the Eye of Terror by the Inquisition, aided by the Adeptus Mechanicus. Only one man had returned alive aboard the damaged spy ship, the inside of which had resembled a carnal house. That had been the one surviving navigator who had guided it back to Cadia. Luckily, the librarian who had accompanied the Purple Star's detachment, Marsh Tuma, had recorded a full report before he, too, died of his injuries. In a final act of heroism, he had even managed to remove the prognoid glands from the mangled bodies of his fallen comrades for reseeding. The librarian's report was still being exhaustively studied and evaluated, but it was the overall commander of the Segmentum Obscurus, Lord Militant Commander Drang, who would have to make a decision. The Eye of Terror lay within Obscurus, one of six segments with which the Imperium was divided, and here, at Cyber Mundi, was based Battlefleet Obscurus, the force which would have to be committed if any action was to be taken. Judging by the reports before him, there definitely would have to be action. And soon. No one knew how many human-inhabited worlds lay within the Eye of Terror. Conceivably, there were as many as there were in the human Imperium itself. And conceivably, those worlds were just as densely populated. Sometimes the Eye was called the Imperium of Chaos. Though that was a fancy misnomer, because it was not an Imperium at all, but a disorganized melange. If the Chaos Powers had finally learned to organize themselves, then the prospect was terrible indeed. The Imperium itself would be under threat of being overrun. The 10,000-year ordeal of torture the Emperor had imposed on himself to preserve humanity from the horrors of Chaos would have been in vain.
Gentlemen, Commander Drang said in a soft voice. It is not hard to guess the enemy's intention. This is not the first time he has come out of the Eye in a crusade to conquer surrounding star systems. Such crusades have always been contained and defeated in the past. But what has now been revealed is on a different scale. The enemy is building a battle fleet large enough to overwhelm Cadia, the guardian of the Cadian Gate, from where he will be able to invade all the worlds fringing the Eye to the galactic south. These worlds will give him a base from which to launch a war in the Segmentum Obscurus and beyond. He will lose that war, of course. Indeed, I do not believe he will break out of the Segmentum, but it is our duty to see that such a war does not take place. Gentlemen, we must define a strategy.
Drang paused, raised his chalice and breathed deeply of the fumes given off by the mixture of sweet herbs smouldering in it. The others, following his example, breathed from the cups before them.
the youngest of his admirals, who perhaps had not yet learned to refrain from questioning anything the commander said, took the opportunity to speak. "My lord, can we trust the reliability of this observation? No Black Crusade has held together before, and all we have is the reports of psychers, not hard evidence. Since that report, a second null ship of the old design has also been sent into the eye, though without space marines aboard. It failed to return. However, the Imperium's most powerful psychers have directed their powers into the eye. They confirm that there is something afoot there, something unprecedented and very dangerous." Letting the herbal smoke drift leisurely from his nostrils, Drang surveyed the gathered admirals with his one normal eye and the implanted monocle, which jutted out a good 2 inches from his right eye socket. The admirals stared back stoically, meeting the stony regard.
None dared flinch or allow his gaze to waver. The sporting of visually enhancing monocles was something of a tradition in the Obscurus fleet, but the one worn by the Imperial Commander was different. It was a replacement, not an aid. Everyone knew the story of how he had lost his right eye when a young fleet captain and an engagement with Orc Raiders. He could easily have had the eye replaced with another natural one. Instead, he had chosen to have the present prosthetic fitted. It was said to be unique and irreplaceable. There were even some dark rumours concerning that monocle. Some said it had been made by a tech priest of genius whom Dang had murdered after the fitting to preserve its uniqueness. Another version of the story gave the monocle an alien origin. Drang, then having ordered the exterminatus of the entire alien planet, again to satisfy his craving to own something unique. Whatever the real story, it was a matter of record that Drang had boasted that, standing on the upper deck of a battleship in hard vacuum, he could spot an enemy warship up to a half light-year distant. "Here is my proposal, gentlemen," Lord Drang said. "We shall serve the Emperor by removing the threat at the outset. This will be a maneuver which has never been carried out before. An incursion by massed naval forces into the eye, the object being to annihilate the invasion fleet while it lies in the construction yards. We shall go in through the Cadian Gate and hit them before they know what is happening, then withdraw just as quickly." He shrugged. "A pity we cannot land ground forces and fortify a few planets too, but such an action is ruled out at a very high level. The Eye of Terror is the strangest of places, as you are all aware. The Adeptus Terror believes the risk of mental contamination is too great to allow Imperium forces to spend any length of time there." When Drang uttered a proposal, everyone present knew he was issuing an order. Here was a plan daring to the point of madness. But one did not argue with the Lord Militant Commander. Discussion would be limited to ways and means of effecting the aim Drang had outlined. Gothic-class battleships, supported in the main by Styx and Hades-class heavy cruisers, will make up the bulk of the task force, he continued. All those in Battlefleet Obscurus, except those that must be held in reserve, will be committed to the attack. And after I have consulted with my good friend Lord Militant Commander Investicone, I am sure we can confidently expect substantial elements of Battlefleet Pacificus to join us. Drang gave a mirthless smile. Investicore will not want to leave all the glory to me. Servitors brought more dried herbs to refill the golden chalices. An invigorating mood of grim determination took over the Admiral's conference. The planning talk went on, far into the night and beyond the next dawn.
Yeah. Big brain manoeuvre. Let's invade the Eye of Terror. Sweet. I'll see you next time. Thanks for watching. Thanks to everybody supporting the channel. And please do remember to give this a like and share it if you can around, as that helps as well. But I'll be back again with Chapter 3 very, very soon.